You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Hoodat Nation? Welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson here, your host, covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans by Saints fans. You already know what it is. Go ahead and throw me a follow on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. And of course, as always, if this is your first time catching the podcast, thank you so much for being here. And welcome. Please be sure to subscribe, share, rate, review. All of that is a big help to me. And subscribing will also help you keep up to date with the newest episodes as they drop every Monday through Friday. So remember, you can find Locked On Saints on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as the new podcasting app Himalaya, and just about anywhere else you get your podcasts. And of course, when you're out on the road, make sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints. Welcome to today's episode of Locked On Saints on this glorious Thursday. Today, we're going to do a little bit more scheduled talk and some more draft talk as well. We'll kick it off this episode with some extra scheduling thoughts, including why you should not be paying attention to strength of schedule this early in the season. That's following up on yesterday's all schedule episode. If you haven't heard that, make sure that you go back and check that out. We'll then talk about Western Illinois' defensive tackle, Kalen Saunders, who is a potential trade-up target of mine. That'll be our second segment, and then we'll wrap up the show with the rest of my conversation with The Athletic's Deuce Windham, who you can follow on Twitter at Rev Deuce Windham. We'll talk draft and why it's so fun covering a team like the Saints and being a part of the Hoodat Nation. Got all of that and a little bit of land yet for you right here on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all. So let's jump right in. Let's talk about some schedule, a little bit more schedule. So I talked about the entire schedule, every single game yesterday, gave you my initial thoughts. So I've gone through now and I've taken a look at a couple of other things throughout the season. We're going to talk about a little bit about the Saints schedule, a little bit about other team schedules. Just to let you know, the Saints don't have it easy, but the Saints don't have it as bad as a couple of other teams. So let's start off by talking about what I sort of teased at the beginning of the episode here, and that strength of schedule. The Saints this season have the 22nd lowest strength of schedule. So it's one of the easier schedules based on combined win-loss rate of opponents. And that's getting a lot of people excited. A lot of people talking about, you know, the Saints are going to go 14-2, which they've never done in franchise history, 13-3 again, things like that. I even jokingly put out that they were going to go 16-0. But of course, obviously, if you're saying that the Saints are going to go 16-0, you're either really confident in your team and you love them very much, and I 100% respect that, or you're messing around. And that's what I was doing, because nobody's going 16-0 in this day and age of the NFL. So, but when you look at that 22nd ranked strength of schedule, what does that really tell you? Well, it tells you that if the Saints were playing against these teams last year, they'd have a very simple strength of schedule. They would have a very easy schedule. That's all that that tells you. But they're not playing against the 2018 Indianapolis Colts. They're not playing against the 2018 Houston Texans. They're not playing against the 2018 Chicago Bears, which actually might be a good thing for the Saints. They're playing against the 2019 team. What do we not know yet? We have no idea what the 2019 team is going to look like, whether that be the Saints 2019 team or the Bears 2019 team. Hell, we don't even know what the Rams 2019 team looks like yet, because we haven't even gone through the draft. We're still a week out from that. So before anybody gets too excited about the Saints having a quote unquote easy schedule, you know, wait it out. That's really the thing. It's not about paying attention. It's about waiting it out and understanding that things are going to change. The Saints are not playing these 2019 opponents in their 2018 state. So the fact that they have a 0.488 win percentage doesn't mean anything, or win rate. That doesn't mean anything going into the 2019 season. Just to give some examples here, 2018, the two teams that were tied for 22nd ranked strength of schedule were the New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. Both of them did well last year. They both got to the playoffs. But in 2016, the team that was closest, that would be the Indianapolis Colts as well, they didn't do so hot in 2016. They didn't do so hot in 2016 at all. In fact, also around that same area, the Cleveland Browns were 21st. they didn't do very well at all either. And then you can look at some of the other strength of schedules from last year. The Houston Texans had the easiest schedule. They did fine. The Tennessee Titans were 31. They didn't do great. Cincinnati Bengals, bottom of their conference. Oakland Raiders, bottom of their conference. That was tied. They were both tied for 29th. And then the next one up there was tied for 25th. The Denver Broncos, 0.477 win rate that they faced over the season. Didn't do so hot. They were second to last in their conference behind both the Chiefs and Chargers. So you can't really look at this and say, okay, the Saints have the 22nd easiest or the 22nd hardest, so the 10th easiest schedule in the NFL. So they're a bet. Like they're definitely in to do great next season. We don't know yet. We still have a draft. We still have to see exactly what happens. And there's still free agency's not over yet. You still have the 90-man rosters getting cut down to 53 and where that sends other players and things like that. So I just wanted to put that out there and make sure everybody understands there's a lot of reason to be excited about what the Saints do, because if the Saints come out of their first four games 2-2, they're great for the rest of the season. Like they look good moving through the rest of the season, because that opening four game stretch is going to be grueling, or should be grueling. We don't really know yet. That's the thing. Like I could sit here and say that it's going to be grueling, but do I really know that? No, because September is such a calibration month with the lack of contact practices that teams are allowed to have now before they step out into the football field. Everything in September is calibration. So we don't actually know yet, but it's worth saying that if the Saints go 2-2 in those first four games, they're in good shape heading through the rest of the season and the remaining 12 games. They still have three quarters of the season to play at that point. So that would be a good start for them. But even with that opening four game stretch being as grueling as it is, the Saints don't have it as bad as a couple of other teams out there. Fellow NFC South team, the Buccaneers, who you can listen to Locked On Bucks if you'd like. They're going to talk a little bit more about this, or a lot more about this, I imagine. David Harrison and James Yarko, good friends of mine over there. The Bucks don't play a home game between September 22nd and November 10th. The entire October month, they're away from Raymond James Stadium. The one home game that they have during that stretch is on October 13th against the Panthers, and it's in London. It's not a real home game. And somehow getting it even worse than that are the other pirate-themed team in the NFL. That would be the Oakland Raiders, who go 6 weeks without a game at home. They really don't play at home between September 15th and November 3rd. That's half of September and the entirety of October. So they're away at Minnesota, away at Indianapolis. Then they have a home game, quote unquote, against the Bears, which is in London. Then they go to Green Bay, go to Houston. And then in the midst of that, they also have a bye week, week 6. And so they don't get back home until week 9. After playing at home week 2, they don't go back home until week 9 against the Lions. So at least the Saints don't have more than 2 games away from home. And the only Thursday night game and only short week, quote unquote, short week like that Sunday to Thursday type short week is that Thanksgiving game in Atlanta against the Falcons, which I want that to be a short week because I want to get to that as quickly as possible. So, all right, y'all, just a couple of extra scheduling thoughts there. When we come back, we're going to talk about Kalen Saunders, one of my favorite defensive tackle prospects in the NFL, interior defensive line guy. We're going to be talking about him as a potential trade-up target. And then to wrap up the show, we're going to hear Deuce Windham and I's the last part of our conversation there, where we talked about the draft and how fun it is covering the Saints and being a part of the Who Dat Nation. Got all that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Who Dat Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. We are back now here to talk about some more of those sort of trade-up targets for the Saints. I made a list of them at the end or at the beginning of this week. Oh man, everything is running together. I can't even remember. But recently, in one of the more recent episodes where I talked about trade-up targets, oh, it was Friday's episode of last week. Whew. All right, I'm back, everybody. I'm back. So I talked about all of those players that I think that the Saints might be able to trade up for in the draft, specifically looking at trade up scenarios between into round 3, into round 4, not ones that vault them up into round 1, because again, I am highly against that unless you're going for somebody that is like a huge difference maker. And I just don't think that the Saints can get into the top 5 in order to get that. So round 3, round 4. And I've already talked about Kahale Waring as one of those tight ends that the Saints could trade up for. I think Dawson Knox is an option there too. They could also stand pat it in the 5th round and take Foster Moreau potentially if they wanted to do that, or Josh Oliver. So there's some other options out there. But if the Saints wanted to trade up for people that I think are the most impactful, you know, if they're listening to the show and they're like, you know what, that Ross guy's really got a point there. Kalen Saunders would be great. Let's go ahead and trade up for him. I want to talk a little bit about him so that you know that, you know, I made the right call before it happened. So Kalen Saunders out of Western Illinois, he had a couple of scholarship offers to Wisconsin, Missouri, Notre Dame, but he wanted to play in the FCS. So he took his one FCS offer to go to Western Illinois. He's 6 foot, so he's a little short, but 324 pounds, so he's kind of stout as well. He's going to come into the league at, he'll be 22 years old when he comes into the league. He played all four of his years. Well, he did a redshirt 2014 season, then he played 2015, 16, 17, 18. During that time, he got third team All-American, first team All-Conference, first team All-American his senior year, as well as first team All-Conference as well. He was also honorable mention All-Conference in his sophomore year with two passes defended, 1.5 sacks, and 48 tackles. In his senior season, though, he stepped it up a little bit, 6.5 sacks, 13 tackles for a loss, 1 fumble force, 1 pass defense. So his total out of his career of 47 total games with 34 starts for 204 tackles, 34.5 tackles for a loss, 18 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, and 6 passes defended. He added a 5.01 40-yard dash at the combine. Didn't do a pro day. He just stood on his combine numbers there. He also had a vertical leap of 30 inches, which is not fantastic, but for a guy that's 324 pounds, yeah, that's great. I mean, you want him to be able to get his hands up if he can't get to the pass rusher and things like that. But one of the things that he does really well is, well, get to the pass rusher. As you heard me say, 18 sacks over his really sort of 4 years of action, but 3 years of playing in a starting role, 11 games, 12 games, 11 games in 16, 17, and 18, as well as the 34.5 tackles for a loss, suggests that he does a very good job of penetrating, getting into the backfield, disrupting the passer, and also making some run stops. So he made 34 straight starts in his collegiate career, so that's good. No real red flags in terms of his any injury history or missing any games or suspensions or anything like that. He's just got, you know, he's one of those guys that's a little bit, I don't want to say raw. He's got rare ability, and he's very, very intelligent. He's got some great, as Dane Brugler says, intelligibles. But some of his weaknesses are that he's short. You know, he's a little bit shorter for a guy. He's sitting at 6 foot as an interior defensive lineman. He's got some underdeveloped techniques and things like that, but that's fixable. You know, you can't make the guy taller, but you can make him play taller. You can help him out with his pass rushing moves, with his tactics and things like that as a pass rusher. And Ryan Nielsen, the Saints defensive line coordinator who came over from NC State a few years ago, is outstanding. Look what he did with David Onyemata, which David Onyemata was one of those raw talents as well, coming in from, where did he come in from? Manitoba? He came in from Canada. He came in from a school in Canada, and then they were able to turn him into what he was last season. And they're going to be missing him potentially for the beginning of the 2019 season. I know you hear me talk about it all the time, but it is worth mentioning because this is one of the reasons why Kalen Saunders is a good pick for the Saints. He's one of those people that can come in and potentially help step in to that role that David Onyemata has not necessarily vacated, but probably isn't going to be available for at the beginning of the season. Then you've already got Malcolm Brown, who's going to be able to step into the Sheldon Rankins role, or you can go vice versa. And then you also have those guys when Sheldon Rankins and David Onyemata return. The other thing is that, look, after this year, the Saints have a lot of contracts to renew. They've got some fifth-year options that they can use to sort of help themselves out with Marshawn Lattimore and Ryan Ramczyk, but they're going to need to re-sign Sheldon Rankins. They're going to need to figure out a new extension deal for Michael Thomas, for Alvin Kamara. They also are going to have to make a decision on what they're going to do with David Onyemata. If they want to stick with one of those guys, if they need to let one of those guys walk, it's nice to have a young option that can step into the role, and Kalen Saunders, to me, could be that guy, but only if it's necessary. And if it's not necessary, then he's somebody that can end up being quality depth for the team should Mario Edwards, you know, finish out his contract and then want to go somewhere else, or Malcolm Brown, yada yada yada. So lots of possibilities with taking somebody like this. It's not the same as trading up into the first round to take a defensive tackle, or trading up into the early second round to take a defensive tackle, to where you feel like you've made a commitment to him and then you've drafted him, and so now he's, you know, somebody that could become a potential starter and all that other stuff. He's a third or fourth round guy, so you draft him and then he plays the role that you brought him into play, and then if he becomes a starter and earns that spot, then fantastic. But if he plays as quality depth, and if he plays as, you know, somebody that can come in and be rotational, then you struck gold with somebody in the third or fourth round who just has the ability to do that. Then you know, if anybody becomes a starter at that point, that's just sort of That's Lanyap, right? That's what we always talk about here on Locked On Saints. We got Lanyap for you. Kalen Saunders could be Lanyap if he has the ability to do that. He played in a 3-4 base over at Western Illinois, but definitely has the ability to stay inside to play in a 4-3 base as a one-gapping sort of nose tackle guy. So I really, really, really like Kalen Saunders. I think that he would be a great addition to this team. He brings a lot of possibilities to the Saints in terms of trying to make sure that they have the coverage that they need for the time that they need it with the potential suspension of David Onyemata, which Sheldon Rankin's missing the beginning of the season, but then also offers some ceiling, right? Some high ceiling potential moving forward. So that's my little pitch on Kalen Saunders. I'll talk about a couple more trade up targets as we move through next week's episodes. Remember, we're doing a live mock draft here on the podcast tomorrow. I might actually make that open up to, I think I'm going to go ahead and open that up to the Locked On Saints Facebook group. So go ahead and join that so that as I'm doing the mock draft, you can also participate and give me some ideas. I'll screen share so that you can see who's on the board, chime in and say, hey, I really like this guy, think about this guy, things like that. And we can kind of do it together. We might go run through a couple of them that way, because that might make it go a little bit faster too, because my thought process would usually take a while if I don't have anybody to talk it out with. So go ahead and join the Locked On Facebook group just by searching Locked On Saints on Facebook, and go ahead and join that group, and we'll get you in there for tomorrow. I'll probably do that somewhere around noon tomorrow or so. We'll see. I'm not trying to wake up early tomorrow, but I definitely want to wait until tomorrow to do it. So, all right, y'all. I'm going to go ahead and take a break here. When we come back, we have our final portion of my interview, or conversation rather, with the Athletics' Deuce Windham. So I got that coming up for you right here. We're talking draft. We're talking how fun it is to cover the Saints, how fun it is to be a part of the Hoodat Nation, all that for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. So we're here again with Deuce Windham. You can follow him on Twitter at RevDeuceWindham. And of course, you can check him out over at the Hoodat Confessional podcast, which you can support via patreon.com/Hoodat Confessional. You can also follow him on Twitch and subscribe there for exclusive live streams at twitch.tv/RevDeuce. So we're talking about trading up, talking about moving around, and we're talking about pick 62. But in your mind, Deuce, what do you think the ideal draft looks like for the Saints, in your opinion?
Ooh, that's always fun. So here's just some promo. So if you like the internet and you haven't ever done this before, there's two places you can go to. So you can go to thedraftnetwork.com, or you can go to FanSpeak Mock Draft Simulator. Those are my two favorites. Mm-hmm. So if you want to play with the mock draft and see how things lay out, I would recommend you go to there. For me, the ideal scenario for New Orleans is address what is the biggest need left on this team on both sides of the football. And it happens to be the exact same position, the slot. P.J. Williams, Patrick Robinson have the slot nailed down on defense, but Patrick Robinson getting up in age and having injury issues now, and then P.J. Williams still kind of being slightly unknown, I am definitely not opposed to bringing in another cornerback to have in that battle. And I think that the lack of interest that you saw in Ken Crawley and in P.J. Williams from around the league shows that even though they can contribute, Ken Crawley having issues at times with confidence, Williams having issues at times playing the boundary, really limited to that slot role, they could look to continue to address that. I think edge rusher is another spot there. But on offense, it's the slot, it's the slot, it's the slot. And it's been that way for 3 years, whether that's a tight end or a receiver. It doesn't really matter. You can get you a flex tight end, and there are a plethora of options at that this year. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are expecting Irv Smith to fall because of his athletic scores, you know, at the Combine and Pro Day. But he has a lot of good film out there. And the Saints have shown that there's one thing that you can really impress them at in the Combine process and the draft process, and that's how you come with mental acuity. And if you can really show off the ability to understand what the Saints want to do offensively, they don't necessarily care as much about athletic scores. The Saints are a team that you'll see get a lot of players that are high-end athletes, but they're not one of the teams where they're always like that top three. Everybody they got is just a pure athlete. If you happen to be a pure athlete, main thing they really seem to be focusing on since Jeff Ireland came back and Peyton has really started putting a lot of effort into is the mental side of things. How do these guys fit into the system? Can they adapt and can they grow with us more so than, hey, do these guys run a 4.3? Do they have a great, you know, 6 second shuttle time or three cone time? Things like that.
Gotcha. So addressing the slot there. So would you be willing to give us a couple names of just people to look out for in the slot on offense and in the slot on defense?
Yeah. Offense, it's, you know, like I said, this is going to be dependent on what you want to do. And I've started doing every summer I go through each game again, generally 3 to 4 times to try to, you know, you wait a couple of months. That way you forget everything that you just watched and then refresh yourself to get a kind of a fresh eye. And one thing I noticed at the beginning of the year is the Saints use a lot heavier sets. I mean, in Cleveland, they went empty, so no running back in the backfield, 5 receivers, but they were still in 22 personnel. So they had 2 running backs and 2 tight ends out on the field in an empty set. use a lot of different variations with heavier personnel. Ben Watson and Josh Hill on the field at the same time, and then having two running backs on the field at the same time, usually a fullback. As the year progressed, that changed a little bit. And I think part of the reason that it changed is because the tight end just room was so inconsistent in his play on the field. So you had to really adapt and go to what you felt was your strong suit, which was spreading things out wide, receivers, using Kamara's receiver and things like that. I think that some of the names here, Dawson Knox, I mentioned, Jay Sternberger, you can even go a little bit later for you LSU fans and Foster Moreau, who does have some really good athletic potential and I think was grossly underused, arguably misused at LSU. And just not even that, too. You've got, you know, Caden Smith out of Stanford. A lot of these guys, even for the athletic ability that they show, are bigger. I mean, 250 pounds, but still with decent athleticism, can still attack the football up the seams and in the air. And those are a lot of the things that you like to see. And, you know, Josh Oliver, Lees Mack out of Notre Dame. Some of those names being more towards the, you know, third day of the draft, but still addressing the position. For wide receiver, the one I've really kind of fallen in love with is Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State.
Yes.
The Saints have met with basically every Ohio State guy that you can name, Mike Weber, Paris Campbell, Dwayne Haskins. That's just our farm system.
Mm-hmm.
And from a fit standpoint, him or Campbell, I think, would fit really well. I simply have a slight edge towards McLaurin. I like his route running a little bit more. He also has just a smidge, and I mean a smidge more height and length than Paris. I mean, they're almost identical in terms of, it's like watching Kamara and Ingram next to each other. Like, their builds are different, but they're the same height, length type. You know, Campbell and McLaurin have similar traits, but they're still two different receivers. DeMarcus Lodge out of Mississippi, if you really want to go back to, you know, some more of a stretch, because Ole Miss did nothing but stretch the field, man. You watch their tape, and it's just everybody's running four verticals every play.
It's Madden offense.
Metcalf go deep, Lodge go deep. It's everybody go deep.
Yeah.
That's just their offense. And there's also other players. I know Andy Isabella has come up a lot for Saints fans. I'm not a big fan of Isabella as a fit to New Orleans because of his size. You've only seen the Saints draft one receiver under 6 foot since Peyton's come here, and that was Brandon Cooks, and he's gone.
Right.
They're happy to bring in those type of players who don't fit that height, weight, speed. So height, weight, speed is what we call a triangle prospect in draft evaluation. They really only draft triangle prospects at skill positions. They're willing to bring you in as a UDFA and let you earn a spot. Look at Willie Snead and Lance Moore. The guys who don't fit that mold. But when it comes to drafting, I'd be very surprised to see a guy like Andy Isabella picked at 62, and I think that's about the range he would go. Another guy that I think has gotten slept on a little bit is Riley Ridley. Fantastic route runner. Isn't the athlete some of these other guys are, but he comes in like out of the box ready to go. I think that benefits the Saints a lot because they, you know, they're trying to win now.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Man, those are great, great, great names. Love that. Man, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us here, Deuce, and to come back and to join Locked On Saints again. Just a reminder for everybody, you can follow him on Twitter at RevDeuceWyndham. Always putting out the best information, man. As far as I'm concerned, nobody else better out there to learn more about the game from. Contributor and analyst for The Athletic, department brand manager for Canal Street Chronicles, and host of the Who Dat Confessional podcast. Man, you got any final words or final thoughts for the listeners as well?
I don't know, man. Just check out the podcast. Make sure you guys check out AllSaintsConsidered.com. I know I've been working with them pretty lately. It's fun, and I'm excited, man. The off season is no longer the off season. It's full season 24/7, 365. So better keep up.
Yeah, that's it, man. I love it. Look, man, I was on one of the radio shows down in New Orleans the other day, Chris Gordy over at Sports 1280 New Orleans, and he asked me, is it tough doing a daily podcast covering a sports team, covering the NFL? And it's not anymore. It's really not. Like, it's a full year-long season, and especially with the Saints, who stay engaged. They continue to give content like crazy. You've got, you know, Michael Thomas over at the spring game making comments about trying to get more Ohio State players to the Saints. You got, you know, Sean Payton talking about, you know, whether or not he's going to the Cowboys and answering questions like that, just completely candid. Just so much to talk about here. And it's, you know, it's all, you know, Who Dat Nation, man. We don't sleep. We don't sleep out here.
And it's always fun, man. It's one thing about this team is because the interaction, you're always having fun with the players when you get to communicate with them and when they talk about that. I mean, most places around the league, Saints fans are truly spoiled, especially if you live in New Orleans. Most players are not walking down the city streets being willing to hang out and talk with fans. They're almost secluded. And part of this is because New Orleans is not the largest market, so it's not a massive city. But the fans are willing to just, you know, be there, hang out, chill, have those interactions with, you know, the players and vice versa. And that's not how it is everywhere. And so the Saints have a very unique, awesome experience. Saints fans do. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why they have now multiple years in a row finished at number one in the NFL in fan experience by a third party judge, a company that comes in, rates how the, you know, the fan experiences at the dome, the food,
right,
just how people enjoy the city. And the Saints in New Orleans consistently finished at the top. It's a very special place to have, which makes our job really easy to cover them.
Absolutely, man. Yo, thank you so much again for taking the time, everybody. Make sure you follow Deuce on Twitter at Rev Deuce Windham. Make sure you check out the Patreon, patreon.com/WhoDatConfessional, and of course, twitch.tv/RevDeuce. Deuce, thanks so much for coming through, man. Looking forward to doing this again sometime.
Thanks.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for being here today. It's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Saints. Make sure you come through tomorrow. We're going to do that live mock draft with the Locked On Saints Facebook groups. Make sure you join that. Just search Locked On Saints group on Facebook, rather. Join there so you can be a part of the mock draft tomorrow. But for right now, as always, I just want to say thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And please take some time to rate, review. All of that helps out a ton. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints at home or in your vehicle, and be sure to subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and the new Himalaya podcast app so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you all so much for all of your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.